Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign.
Okay, I'm back.
Yay!
Hey, sorry about that.
Cole did it.
Yeah, I made some coffee. Took me forever.
Liar.
What? Here, I'll blow on it for you.
Oh, good. And that's the way to prove everything.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Here's how lazy my mind is. These are two movies that I get confused for each other all the time. Even though they couldn't be any more different. Mm-hmm. Natural Born Killers and Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yeah, those don't.
they don't have anything to do with each other. Yeah.
They don't at all.
Well, they both starred Rupert.
I always get Up and How High get confused.
How High what?
I get How High and Up confused.
How High was that a Wayans Brothers movie?
No, it was two rappers, Redman and somebody else, about how they. How do I explain it?
Go for it.
They had this friend. I think he grew marijuana, and they were in college, and they took him because he was real smart, and they put his ashes and fertilized some marijuana plants with it, so that when they smoked the marijuana that was grown with his ashes, he came back to them and helped them cheat on tests.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Is that the movie where in the trailer you had the guy with the crazy hair that had little divots cut out of it, but he had like little mechanical race cars that would drive along it?
I don't know. Probably not.
I think so. I think I remember seeing that in the trailer for How High.
Said study high, take the test high, get high scores.
Well, that's a thing though. I don't know that it's a thing. It's a thing that you see in television. State dependent memory, right? And I think it is also like a myth in college, right? Where you would hear somebody say, "Well, I only ever studied drunk, so I need to take this test drunk because of state dependent memory."
Right.
Are you aware of this? Have you heard of this?
I only drive on Whippets.
Yeah, when you say the tank's half full, oh man, they don't know exactly which tank you're referring to.
I only drive on spray paint.
So here's the thing. I think I'm past the point in my life where I'm going to do any more experimentation with drugs.
Yeah.
Like it's never really been a thing in my life.
You've decided on one? You've got a theory?
I kind of know, given my nature, given kind of my chemical makeup and my state of mind, I kind of know that maybe like just I'm not even saying this. I'm not even saying I smoke pot because I don't. But like that's probably about the ceiling for me, right?
You think?
I think so. Because as interested as I am in the prospect of hallucination, you know, just like I would like to take one sense and hook it up to the other and see what new stuff falls out. Right. As interested as I am in that, it's also my life's mission to never throw up. So like mushrooms are out of the question, and LSD also feels out of the question. And so what you're left with is either something incredibly addicting, which I don't want to go for, or something that is as seemingly benign as a euphoric like Whippets. So I think that like if I was to try and raise the ceiling beyond just, you know, what might as well just be vitamins right now, like pot might as well just be vitamins. It would probably have to be like a Whippet or a nitrous hit, you know, just like get in there with the hippie crack. But like, yeah, I don't even know how you would like get access to that.
That says you're locked, though. There's no more expansion for you.
Yeah, I would.
I don't know that I would paint myself in that corner.
This is Kolev today talking. There could be something else. I don't know. Like you're making it sound like it's a bad thing that I like just have decided that heroin is not going to be a part of my life.
Well, you can't say never, right?
I suppose. You know.
Yeah, I just think I think you should try everything once.
But all those ads tell me not even once.
You're not going to puke on LSD.
Well, but you're going to be like on edge for like 2 days, right?
Nah.
Nah, okay.
Nah, like maybe like a 48 hours.
What you're saying is time will become meaningless.
Right.
More so than it already feels now.
I love drugs.
Yeah. State dependent memory.
I dig music.
Who could ask for anything more? Is that what you're doing? Are you doing that?
Mr. Holland's Opus? No.
I think.
No, it was Almost Famous.
Mm. Is that where he hooked up the light show so his son could hear his performance?
I am a golden god.
Mm. Yeah.
His name was Colton.
Colton.
Yeah.
The character from Almost Famous?
No, the Mr. Holland's Opus. Keep up.
you're veering wildly. Was it Colton or was it Cole? I remember it being Cole.
I think it was Cole.
Yeah.
I didn't want to give you that. You got a big head.
Because I'm crippled with self-doubt.
Yeah, but if I validate you with one Mr. Holland's Opus, it's all over.
It's a slippery slope. It is a slippery, Dreyfusy slope.
I'm trying to... Yeah, well, another podcast here recently referenced the Goodbye Girl, so I won't.
Oh, man.
Krippendorf's tried? Probably.
Mm, yeah, that was a mess.
What about Bob?
What about Bob is great.
Yeah. Dr. No. Marvin. Dr. Leo Marvin.
Oh, was Richard Dreyfuss. Did Harold Ramis direct that?
Mm. I don't think so.
Yeah, that feels like a Harold Ramis joint. Oh, Richard. Wow. That's crazy. It was directed by Frank Oz.
The guy that did the HBO show?
Yeah, it was that HBO biopic about Frank Oz's life in prison. No, Frank Oz, also known as the voice of Yoda, the chief collaborator with Jim Henson on The Muppets. And get this, Chris, get this. Also the director of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
It's amazing when you look at the filmography of Richard Dreyfuss, how many of the titles that he's been in sound like they could be porn titles.
The Big Fix.
Shots Fired. Squatters.
Let It Ride.
Very Good Girls. Lone Star Trixie.
My Life in Ruins.
I don't even know. The Tin Man. He did have a cock.
Oh, he was the Tin Woodman.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. Well, no, if it just makes sense. It plays into it.
Mad Dog Time.
Oh, I didn't realize he was in the film version of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are Dead.
Huh. Lost in Yonkers.
That's that is an adaptation of a what's his name? Did The Odd Couple? Blah.
Nuts.
That's gonna kill me that I don't know that. I can't pull up who fucking wrote Neil Simon. Yeah, it's a Neil Simon play, Lost in Yonkers.
A Touch of Grace.
Mad Dog Time.
Hello down there.
I thought the bit was over when I said My Life in Ruins. I don't think you can top that.
Hey, landlord.
We said nuts already. We said nuts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Occasional wife.
You're just making this up. I'm trying to find this.
Please don't eat the daisies.
Okay, you stopped saying actual titles here a long, long time ago.
No, these are real.
No, they're not. I just
I'm reading right off of IMDb, dickhead.
Okay, I'm looking at Wikipedia, so this must be a different.
Yeah, these include TV series.
Okay.
Yeah. That Girl. Jugs for the Defense.
That's you're fucking kidding me.
That's Judd for the Defense.
So. Yeah. Okay. Oliver
Hello
Twist
down there. Oh, the young runaway is in 1968.
Holy shit, Richard! What are you doing?
Oh my God! The Second Coming of Suzanne.
Wow, this is Your Family or Mine.
Right.
Yeah.
The man knows no genre that he can't touch.
Oh man, yeah, they can't touch inappropriately.
Good God.
Yeah.
And finally, James and the Giant Peach.
That's a giantess porn.
My bad.
Yeah.
Hmm.
No, for some reason, I thought that he was in Kramer versus Kramer, but that was Dustin Hoffman. So,
who is Cletus Tout?
He's the man who's fucking you right
cop,
now.
Cop Shop.
Hmm.
Ocean of Fear. You know the implication.
Huh.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good.
That's good. It's pretty good.
It's good.
It's good.
Oh well. Richard Dreyfuss.
He's a fantastic actor.
All the porn you never made.
All the porn that you could just plug in.
Yeah.
You know, just get the same film grain that those movies were shot on, right? And then just film some sex scenes and intercut them. Just like when that DVD that Rick burned interleaved scenes of The Love Guru with scenes from Death Wish.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've talked about that, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So here's a story.
Chris, what episode is this?
Oh, shit. 182 of the comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
Yeah.
You said I'm Chris, so who are you?
My name is Cole.
Yeah.
We're here to entertain your asses.
That's the goal.
Yeah, we try.
Yep.
Kind of.
Oh well,
you got a story. We tell stories here. We're storytellers,
right? Angela Wright, Baltimore lady, Baltimore, Maryland, says in a February court filing that she was using the facilities—that's the bathroom—in her home.
Mm-hmm. She's micturating
when the system got backed up and knocked her off the toilet seat with great force and violence, leaving her covered in shit and seriously wounded.
Oh Jesus! Did somebody drop a cherry bomb?
She says, I was literally covered in feces. Who wants that? Richard Dreyfuss.
I've got a country you can call. Wow. So, Chris,
her lawyer added, she had to clean it up herself. Can you imagine doing that? Yeah, I can.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people clean up shit. They're called parents. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's suing city contractors. She's suing everybody.
Right.
She's saying she's suing for her mental as well as physical injuries and PTSD, as well as, quote, loads of physical damage to her home.
Well, I mean, if a toilet explodes, there's going to be like what happens with that? Like, does insurance come in? Does insurance cover shit explosions?
I don't. I just got homeowner's insurance. I switched. And no, that was not. There was a if you live in a floodplain.
Do you live on a floodplain?
No, I don't. No, I live on a hill.
Okay. No, you live on the line of a crest. Huh.
Yeah. So, yeah, $14,000 to fix her home, $3,300 in medical bills.
That sounds reasonable.
She's suing the mayor because he's ultimately responsible for ensuring that the sewers are kept up.
Oh, that's a bit much. She's putting the system on trial. I think that this might be just a tactic of trying to get attention so that so it doesn't, you know. It's I mean, not like in an attention seeking way, but like, okay, who's going to pay attention to somebody whose toilet explode?
She has PTSD.
Yeah. I would be pretty upset about going to the toilet if I knew that there was a possibility, even the slightest chance, that I could get a fire hose of other people's feces up my own ass.
Well, Yeah.
I mean, like, you said well as though you were about to follow up with, that's the risk you take.
Well, it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not the tragedy of the commons.
Cole, nothing is guaranteed.
Okay.
You know, I mean, these are the risks you take, that you know the system.
I don't know. Like, that is supposed to be a place of safety and security.
You're comparing this lady's experience to a school shooting, and it's not the same.
You bite your tongue. I didn't do that.
Directly.
What do you mean? Directly. When did I say that? Quote me back to me.
You said, so this lady must feel exactly like those kids from Connecticut.
Jesus. That doesn't sound like a thing I said, but I believe you.
The only difference is this lady's going to walk again.
Good God.
That's what you said.
Wow.
Play it back.
Man, I'll edit it back in.
But seriously, everything is a risk, Cole.
I understand that, but
no system works perfectly.
I know, but like there should be some method of redress if this was a mistake on somebody's part.
Cole, if you can light your tap water, that's because they're pumping sludge and pressurizing the ground in your area.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know.
But it's cool because you got a big check, and now you own a dually truck and a satellite dish. You know, these are choices we make. If you want to relieve yourself, not in a bucket, you're plugging your ass into a system that you have no control over.
Yeah, it is a medium. It is a medium. It's an ass-to-ass medium.
And that's everything. You know, if you want a delicious burrito bowl, there's consequences.
I love your hard no sympathy line. Pretty great.
Just saying.
Oh yeah.
If you eat Chipotle.
Oh, I don't do that anymore.
You know where you're going.
Yeah, to the hospital.
You're gonna immediately plug yourself into the system this lady got burnt by.
Yeah, I'm not down for an unexpected dirt pipe milkshake, you know?
Well. Oh, God. That's not something you order before. That's something you pay for after.
Yeah, it's a dessert.
Right.
Yeah. Huh. Well, that
can
is...
Can I go ahead and bring your check, or should I give you the...
Did you save any room?
Yeah, just read it. It's right there.
Yeah.
Dirt.
No, yeah, don't search for that. Huh.
Read, Cole. You got anything?
Let me see here. I'm trying to pull it up. Sorry. I wasn't ready for the wasn't ready for this.
So keep this moving. I got an animated GIF here of Ellen DeGeneres crying. So hurry up.
Let's see here. No. So I've got a list here. I've got an article about the ways that most people die while taking selfies. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is part of our suite of articles that were written just to put a word in a headline to get clicks, along with anything that has clickbait. It used to be that the science and technology pages were where I kind of like harvested stories for this because, oh, yeah, there's always some kind of study or some kind of like asinine new product that I can talk about. And no, every page for like all of the like dumb mainstream news sources that I mine to get stuff for this, it's all drones and Zika virus. Like, that's it. That's all anybody is writing about.
Oh, Cole.
What?
Yeah.
Did you have to compose yourself?
Yeah, there's a deal right now with free shipping on a 28-gallon aquarium coffee table.
Okay. Yeah. Free shipping. That would be outrageous.
Yeah, that's why it's $640 being sold by Walmart. I'll send this to you.
Okay, yeah, no, I'd be interested in that.
Yeah, so speaking of clickbait, aquarium coffee table.
Yeah, no, somebody A/B tested you to that. That was basically preordained that you would click on that.
Now every page I go to is going to be about aquariums.
Oh, gosh, they're running game on you.
Oh, well, it was $1,000. How can I not buy this?
but
not available at my local Walmart.
Assholes.
Where do I have to go?
Get a chip. They can do interstore shipping. Come on.
Within 50 miles. Huh, okay. I drive further than that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go.
So these are deaths that are precipitated by selfies. Okay. Yeah. This is a study done by Prizenomics. It's mostly concentrated, like the person who is most likely to die in a selfie precipitated death is 21 years old and male. Okay. Concentrated among 21 year olds, and 75% of people who die while or around taking selfies are male. All right. So of the people who died recently, since 2014, 49 are dead dead of the result of a selfie. And some of them are like things you would expect, like 16 people, fell off of a cliff for a tall building. Like it's going to happen, right? Right. You know, you're trying to get that view. You're trying to get that hashtag blessed, that hashtag God's beauty. And then just, down you go. Pop your head like a grape on an outcropping. You're done. 14 drowned, again, kind of the same thing. Deep blue. You know, they deep blue seed themselves. Okay. This is where it gets kind of weird, though, because
thus far, this is an article about the danger of nature.
This is the article. It's an article about gravity, essentially. Yeah, it's about carelessness. But here we go. Let's see here. 8 people died next to an oncoming train, being hit by an oncoming train.
That was going to happen anyway,
I suppose. Like, it just again, like this is some Final Destination shit. Let's see here. 4 died from gunshot. So it shouldn't be funny, but it is.
It works like any other camera.
point and shoot. Yeah. No, but like you see those pictures. You see pictures of people posing with their guns. Yeah, they're gonna fire it off. They're done.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Paul. Look. Two people died by grenade. Two died by plane crash. This is since 2014. It's only gonna get worse. Okay. Hey, okay. Look at the trick I can do. Car crash 2, which that seems like it would be more common.
The car crash?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, of course. I don't know if you've seen any dating sites lately, but
it's all car selfies.
There isn't a girl who can't take a picture without a car.
Yeah, no, it's that's a thing.
I hate that.
Car selfies. I don't understand it. It is not a great background. Like, is it just like is it a part of the ritual? Like, is that how they're starting their car?
Yeah, I think they want to show you what they look like because they're doing it in the morning. You know, they get ready, they get their war paint on.
Yeah.
And they hop in the car and they put their sunglasses on and they put on a smooth jam. And they're like, "Man, this is how I want people to see me, ready, you know, ready for the day, ready to take on the challenges, you know, ready to look at the end of that thing and think I can take it all, you know?"
Right. That thing being the workday.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and one person died by animal.
By animal?
Yeah. Was killed by an animal. So
from the Muppets?
Wipe out. That was also a falling death, but animal leapt at him.
Right.
Yeah. So most of these happen in India. 19 of the reported deaths, or 40%, happened in India. People.
Not what I would have thought.
People don't really drown anywhere except India has a higher a higher portion of their population that dies by drowning. Okay.
Okay.
And places like Russia are cracking down on us. They have like no selfie zones,
like on cliffs.
Yeah, pretty much.
And at the beach.
To quote the article here, Russia has created a campaign illustrating bad selfie ideas to discourage risky self portraits from cliffs, mountaintops, or near wild animals, among other dangerous options.
But they have a vested interest in protecting their population, because if not, no one would. They're not reproducing in Russia.
No, it's sad. I fall down holes like looking at videos from Russia, like specifically like Russian dash cam videos. Like,
right.
People are jumping out in front of cars, people are doing a lot of dangerous stuff. There's a lot of trampoline mishaps in Russia. There's a lot of shirtless people hitting each other with pool cues for fun.
Hang on, I'm going to take a selfie.
Jeez. Jesus. Is that the sound? Is that the sound that I heard? Like you like rattling around as I was saying more numbers? Was you going to get your gun?
Yeah.
Okay. That was a can you give me, you know what? Actually, can you put the gun across the room? Because I was about to ask you, can you give me another one so I can take it clean? Because that was a very satisfying sound. I kind of don't want you playing with a gun while we record a podcast.
The magazine's gone in.
Okay, cool. So give me another one. There's nothing in the chamber, right?
Let's see. No, ready?
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's clean.
Yeah. What kind of gun is that?
I don't know. It's black.
Okay. Now people know you have a gun.
No, I don't have a gun.
Okay. So, yeah. But so just be careful out there, you know? Disneyland banned selfie sticks. But not because of upskirts. I'm telling you. Just selfie sticks need to, why isn't that a story? Why isn't that a story of like a bunch of dudes with selfie sticks just getting some of them dank upskirts? I don't know why I use the word dank there. I feel very upset with myself.
Dank upskirts?
Yeah.
I don't know. 29 years, guy named Gerald Foos. He owned a hotel called the Manor House Hotel in Colorado. And now they've discovered his journals. And turns out he is the greatest voyeur in the world.
He fancied himself some kind of
sex researcher, in that he observed people through many decades in his hotel intercoursing one another.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
doing an intercourse.
Yeah, he says sexually, I've witnessed, observed, and studied the best firsthand, unrehearsed, non-laboratory sex between couples and most other conceivable sex deviations.
He's out there in the field.
He's getting his hands dirty. He is in the shit, like the first story. He is in it. In 1973 alone, he cataloged 184 male orgasms and 33 female orgasms. And noted that white heterosexuals tended to have missionary sex. And this is why I bring this story up. In his hotel during the year 1973... only 3% of his guests failed to copulate.
Did they miss?
Only 3% went to bed. Only 3% just laid down and went to sleep. The other ones, they were inside each other. 97% of people in his hotel in 1973 went inside one another.
Okay, okay, there we go. So this was we should petition the government to get this categorized as a bone zone.
They need to have a
plaque up at the front because like they achieved like a statistical improbability, because 3% seems like a rounding error. We could have had all sex all the time.
What I'm asking for is like a non-smoking room, is a room that you're not going to do it in.
Oh.
So I can say, hey, I don't want to be in a room where people have done it.
No, like what that would be.
I'm not going to do it in that room.
What that would be, there would be no bed. It would just be you would just have those. You know how astronauts sleep in sleeping bags attached to the walls? It'd be like that. Like you paid for
an encounter that included a Velcro wall.
It's a Velcro ceiling, you know. I paid for the Spider-Man experience.
Mm-hmm.
Got to sling my web.
No. Strap me to this treadmill.
Yeah. No, but just doesn't have a bed. It just has those. It is you have the sound of like car crashes and weeping children piped in through the PA. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then every 25 minutes, somebody knocks on the window, and guess what? The blinds are on the outside. They peek through and say, "Hey, no fucking in there, right?"
No.
Yeah. No. And they put you in mittens. They put you in sandpaper mittens so you can't take care of yourself.
People are awful, man. You know, I mean, I was in a hotel for 4 nights this week, and
yeah, that
I woke up every morning to cigarette smell. People smoking in non-smoking rooms.
Jesus.
You know, come on.
It's shocking how sensitive I am to cigarette smoke.
Mm. Back where the days, you know, where you had a booth on one side of a partition that people were.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking they black and mild.
Yeah, no, no. Just say, are there Marlboro or Reds?
Trying to eat a scoop of ice cream with a cone hat.
And yeah,
whipped cream ears.
I would not call this place friendly. Not friendly to my lungs, sir.
Nope.
No. Yeah, I remember that. I remember it being like you'd go to a restaurant. You know, there's when we were little, go to a restaurant and ask like, hey, how long is the wait? And they would say, okay, it's 30 to 45 minutes for non-smoking. And it's like five to 10 minutes for, and
you've already eaten for smoking.
Yeah.
That's how quick you could get a
take. And it'd be like, well, we're going to take one for the team. Right. We're going to go smoking because, you know, we can't wait. We got to get in and out of this. In and out of the situation as quickly as possible, which makes it makes a kind of sense because people are smoking inside the building. So,
yeah, I guess my point is that every section was a smoking section.
Well, yeah, I mean it's like having a non-pissing section in a pool, or whatever the cliche is.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. any other hotel stories? How was the breakfast spread?
No, it was all right. It was like one of the ones where they give you the voucher to go to their in hotel restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the in hotel restaurant is much like the kitchen in a prison. You know, they got you there. It doesn't have to be good.
Right. Right. Like there's going to be powdered eggs no matter what.
Yeah. Some sad, you know, Pacific Islander lady, you know, making an omelet.
Yeah.
three hours later, you know, she's trying to clean your toilet. You know, it's a
grim situation.
It's a sad life, Cole.
Yeah.
And the life of an immigrant.
Yeah.
Learn the language.
Serving industrial food.
You could be a hostess.
Yeah. No, it's a man making omelets for tips. That is a sad existence.
People getting wrecked at the hotel bar.
I'm sure.
Not too much different than an airport bar.
Well, yeah.
You know, a congruence of people. There was one guy that was—he had lived in the hotel since July of 2015.
Oh, Jesus!
Yeah,
that's the thing. I was going to fire back and say, like, you don't get a lot of regulars at a hotel bar, but I bet you do. I bet you.
Oh,
like,
yeah. They knew exactly. He didn't even order. Like he just sat down and they brought him they brought him a martini and then he ordered his dinner. He ate his dinner at the bar and then right when they took his plate, they brought him a glass of scotch. He didn't ask for any of it. It was just that's what he did.
Yeah, that's like this is your routine,
right?
Yeah.
And then every weekend, his company flew him back to Montreal. No, yeah, yeah, Montreal.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get a sense of what industry he was in?
Yeah, he was an engineer of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah. Living he said he, if he was going to live anywhere in the world that he traveled, he would live in New Zealand.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. So we didn't talk about the mechanics of how this guy did his spying, though, because I didn't read the entire story, but I read a particularly prurient excerpt of the mechanics of this. What he did was he would cut 4x16 inch like slots in the ceiling and then cover them with aluminum grating so it looked like ventilation, right? And so he was actually like up in the attic, like looking down into the drop ceiling as he would, you know, take these make these observations. Which to me, you know, if you have a full grown man walking around on the ceiling, you're probably going to hear that. Yeah. I don't understand. Like,
his feet are going to come through on a bunk bed.
Good one, man. No, but I could totally see, like, you know, the first apartment that I lived in when I moved down here had a squirrel infestation.
Squirrel.
That's too so far.
There you go.
But no, we had squirrels living in the, like, not on the roof, like, well, they weren't scampering across. They're actually living in the attic. Okay.
Shooter's full.
There's three going. That's a turkey.
That smells half as good as it tastes. What?
Sorry, I wasn't teeing you up with the turkey. But There we go. No, but like when I lived in the second floor of that apartment, and you know, you could just see, you heard squirrels scampering. So if I've got some, you know, some creeping masturbator taking notes on me fucking, I'm probably going to notice it.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
If there's anybody in here.
What?
Yeah, that's why I talk to my house. You talk to your house for a different reason.
Oh, yeah. I talk to my house so I can get stuff done. Yeah.
Yeah. You say, turn on the lights so you can see me.
Alexa, turn on the lights.
Who's Alexa?
Yeah, it's my Amazon Echo.
You have an Echo?
Yeah.
When did you get that?
Yeah, like 4 months ago.
I thought you were an Apple boy.
No, it plays nice with my Apple stuff.
Does it really?
Yeah.
I suppose there's no incentive to not.
Yeah. No, it turns on my lights, it reads me the news, all that. Yeah, no, you thought I was joking when I said that I talked to my house. It's not just my watch and my phone. I can speak in my normal voice from the kitchen and get everything I need.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, I have some no shit news.
Okay.
Study of doctors in 2014 who wrote at least 1,000 prescriptions.
Jesus.
Yeah. Had exceptionally high rates of prescribing brand name medication because 9 out of 10 of them took payments from pharmaceutical companies.
Good God.
It says
that's like some straight up cartel shit.
This again confirms the prevailing wisdom that there is a relationship between payments and name brand prescribing.
Yeah, pill mills. Like, yeah. you got Pfizer up in there. Like, you put like push the good shit. Like, none of this Hydrox.
No, and see, that's the thing. I hate that. It makes me so mad that the pharmaceutical, much like political lobbying,
mm-hmm.
You know, no shit. You get the person brings lunch in for the entire nursing staff, you know, gives the doctor a gold plated hard on.
all the pens you can use.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then they say, oh, well, why else are you giving them all this stuff? It's so that they'll write prescriptions.
Mm-hmm.
It's to take their
no, they're there. They're there to educate them on the pluses and minuses of these pills. You know, to let just to give them a better sense of the idea of how it can work for their patients, right? Why the brand name is gonna work better than the generic. Well, who knows what goes into the generic, right? It's purely a marketing play. Like it's more of an education kind of thing.
Yeah, this is all killer, no filler.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't understand why you hate business, Chris.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, if you go with drug company A, it's all credit, no debit.
Why are you just rhyming, sir? Sir, why are you in this office rhyming to me?
Pre-pro high?
What?
Record high?
Why are you rhyming at me?
It just made me angry. I hate that.
It's the entire thing.
But you know, okay, business. Go with business, Cole. Yes. Okay. The pharmaceutical industry is a business, but medicine is not a business because there is no warranty. There is no incentive. You can't get a quote.
Can't get.
You know, it's not a business. There's no competition.
Right.
No one will tell you how much anything costs.
Mm-hmm.
There are no pre-negotiated discounts. It's not a business.
No, it's a...
Yet there are people making money as though it was.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me furious. I hate medicine. I hate the doctor. I hate the whole thing.
Yeah,
it makes me so mad.
Yeah, it should. I hope you understand I was being facetious when I said, why do you hate business?
I hate that business.
Right. It is fucking sickening if you think about it for like even a second.
I hate to go to the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
I hate to get their bills.
Mm-hmm. There's a medication that I take intermittently. That is, it is a schedule. What is it? Schedule one, schedule A. It is a highly addictive, medication for anxiety. Okay.
That's awesome.
What's that?
I said, it's awesome.
It works really, really well. And you know, like on one hand, I can kind of understand why like they need to like check in, because, you know, like the, like it ruins people's lives, but I take like a half a pill a week, you know, but in order to get that half a pill a week, I need to go back to the doctor every 3 months and pay them $100 just so the state doesn't come after me for having that medicine.
Yeah. You got to pay the buffet to feed the monkey.
Yeah. Did you make that up?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Thanks.
Mm.
Just made it up right there on the spot.
No, you're doing great. Yeah. I wonder, so like, is it direct payments? Like, you know, like, hey, I'm going to give you this crisp $100 bill if you prescribe the name, you know, the name brand ED medicine, as opposed to the other stuff. Or is it like favors? Are they getting gifts? Are they getting trips? Because like, I could totally see a pharma company like, oh, we're going to, you know, we're having this convention in Hawaii and we'll pay to fly you out if you come here, right, and listen to our seminar and network.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. No, it is a big bad game, and there is so much infrastructure behind the scenes in order to make sure that system remains unbroken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's nobody that's going to fix it at this point. It's too broken.
Oh yeah, it's too broken, and it's too embedded.
There are too many syringes in the box.
Yeah.
Oh well, that's sad. Sorry.
No, it's a serious problem, and just like, as we get older, it's going to get to be more of a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So speaking of buffets.
Okay.
Manchester, Connecticut at the Royal Buffet. People went out for a nice night, and, you know, the buffet was full of people looking to go out and strap on the feed bag.
Yeah.
And at the end of the night, somebody got pepper sprayed and another person lost a tooth. That's because they got, you know, into a fight about crab legs.
As you would.
Yeah. Somebody was eating too many crab legs. There weren't enough for everyone.
What kind of buffet is this?
I don't know. They were, you know, run along crab legs.
What kind of buffet is this?
Like, people got in a fight.
The second you have one crab leg knocking around in a chafing dish full of lukewarm water, you don't fight over that. You don't go like reach for the tongs. You find somebody to bring you more.
Yeah.
Who eats at buffets anymore?
Hi.
What kind of monster?
The Chinese?
What kind of monster does that?
Ugh. I don't know. I don't go to the Golden Corral.
I've never been to a Golden Corral.
Mm.
I'm trying to think of the last buffet I went to. No, it was a Chinese buffet. I went to a friend's birthday party at a Chinese buffet a couple years ago.
Yeah, you can find some good Chinese buffets. Or you go to Vegas, those buffets are all right. Because they have good turn.
Yeah, they turn. Yeah, what is it? They tell you never eat from a half full chafing dish.
Yeah, they turn and churn.
Yeah, they turn and churn. I think that they rotate it. They rotate it fully. You don't have a chicken strip that's been in there since 1976.
No, there's five chicken strips left. They dump in 30 new ones, and then they mix it up. They turn and churn, turn and churn,
turn and churn. You got to keep the rotation going. You got to aerate that like an aquarium. You got to aerate that like your aquarium coffee table.
Right.
Did you order that?
640. Ordered two.
Cool. Cool. One for your bedroom?
No.
Oh. You stack them on top of each other.
Right.
Yeah.
nothing says status.
Fish in stereo.
Huh. I made a standing coffee table out of two aquariums. That's what I do.
Living the life.
Living the dreams.
Both of them. So so they're fighting over crab legs. That's a big ticket item for to be in a buffet, isn't it?
I think that they use, you know, it's less quality. I don't think that it's high quality.
Do you think it's do you think it's like soy meat or fake soy crab meat stuffed into a bunch of spider shells?
Yeah,
soy in a spider sleeve.
It's like the bag of apples I bought. It says meat specifications of U.S. extra fancy.
I love that there's an official government definition for fancy. Huh. Does it have a jaunty hat? Is it bedazzled?
The apples?
Yeah.
No, they have little eyes and stuff that you can put on.
Oh, yeah. It's a Mr. Applehead.
Right.
Yeah, we call him Braybird.
Call him Braybird.
That was dumb.
It was horrible.
Oh, man. Do you have any more details about this crab leg fight?
No, they just got in a fight over crab legs.
Yeah.
Made me laugh.
Yeah, like
there's a racial element to it, but I won't bring it up.
Thank you.
They were white people.
Yeah, I could see that.
Worth noting.
Let's see here. So we're gonna go back to Germany here. We've been in Germany a little bit over these past couple episodes. There's a recall on some fake. So do you remember like the Billy Bob teeth?
I do.
They were kind of a craze. I think you can still get them. Does Spencer still exist? Is Spencer still a place people go?
I think it still exists. I think I've seen one. I know Hot Topic is.
Can you still go to a Spencer's and buy like a very ribald birthday card, like a ribald like over the hill birthday card? Was like a picture with some cheerleaders and a slogan somewhere along the line of 2, 4, 6, 8. Look at us and masturbate.
Right.
Right. Yeah,
you open up the card and granny boobs roll down.
Yeah, it's like little party blowers. Yeah, huh? No, so I'm just wondering, but like, yeah, those were a mainstay. You pop in these fake teeth, and you look like somebody who doesn't have the means, the necessary means to take care of their dental hygiene, right?
Are you one of my kin?
Right.
No, prove it. A, B, C.
take a bite out of our Biden post. See if the bite pattern matches. That's how we recognize our family dogs after a tussle. This Swiss manufacturer makes these things called rotten teeth that are movie quality costume accessories. They're advertised saying like, hey, they're going to stay put. The teeth will fit exactly in your mouth. However, this is like a fucking Twilight Zone nightmare because, they're being recalled because too many people are unable to remove them. Like your grill, like this jacked up grill you thought was temporary. This is a forever grill now. Hey, you've got a forever grill for $10. You have a forever grill. Have fun. Thought it was funny.
The medical community doesn't want you to have that.
No. Medical community says that this is classist. Medical community says you really shouldn't be looking down. It's a scourge in Appalachia, you know, the Mountain Dew and the meth. Little kids being fed Mountain Dew in a baby bottle. Really? Seen it happen.
At the airport?
I haven't seen it happen, but I know it happens.
Hey, Cole, a 61-year-old California man. He's going to do 6 months in jail.
Of course he is.
Because he pulled a shotgun on a 7-year-old Girl Scout.
What do you mean you're out of Samoas?
She's selling cookies out of her radio flyer wagon. Knocked on this dude's door in Temecula, California. The dude opens the door and immediately points a loaded shotgun at the girl.
What was his goal?
As though he was fighting off a siege of gang members.
Okay, everybody has their reasons. Who's to say that he wasn't, at that moment, expecting a siege of gang members? This could be a Gran Torino situation.
Get off my lawn.
Jesus, Chris.
He said it, not me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and Gran Torino.
Right.
Okay.
When was the last time you saw a Korean gang war?
I don't know. Things get pretty crazy at the. I was about to say the Mongolian barbecue, but that is distinctly not Korean.
No, definitely not.
Man, I had some great Korean the other day. 8-spice rice, man.
Never had.
Get up Korean. In that. That's really good.
So the dude to this day, even though he's sentenced to jail, does not believe he did anything wrong. Prosecutors and the judge insist we were essentially a finger twitch away from homicide. But aren't we always?
Seven. We are walking on a razor's edge. Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, get off my property. Oh, like, so.
As though he was fighting off a gang war.
Huh. So here's what this show and other shows like it have done to me. Is all you had to say was 61-year-old man, and I immediately filled in all of the details. Like you're describing a story that I have that I've heard a million times before. Like, and I like the fact that you said it's California, like that puts a different spin on it than if you said like Florida. Like if you said Florida, that also wouldn't surprise me. But like there are markers here that are pointing to like
what would happen in Florida? He made the 7-year-old girl into a coon hat.
Yeah, look at me, I'm Davy Crockett.
Right.
That was funny.
Mm-hmm. I shred my important documents with a gator mouth.
It's a living.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Hey, Chris, do you want me to tell them what they can do?
Please.
Yeah. Go back and check out our back catalog at duckfeed.tv/thosedamnrosskids. We have a ton of episodes if you are looking for more. Ratings and reviews on iTunes are always helpful. And patreon.com/duckfeedtv. I think that's everything. I don't have any more news to give.
You did that.
All right.
All right.
Sorry, America.
Sorry.